Ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me is my very distilled friend, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Distilled, designed by Dave Beck, artwork created by Eric Evanson, and published by Paverson Games.
Distilled is a 1-5 player spirit-making game where you're brewing up all the fun spirits, where players will be discovering many new ways to distill their favorite spirits and maybe not so favorite spirits. Each round, you'll throw some ingredients together and make a spirit. Then you can decide to let it age, or you can sell it for quick cash. You will play through 7 rounds, and whoever has the most points via selling all of these wonderful spirits will win and be crowned the best distillery in the land. Let's review Distilled. Well, Jared.
Yes.
It's been a minute.
At least one.
I have a couple facts.
Oh!
So one, because in this game, moonshine is one of the many things that you get to brew up a little bit. It's also one of the cheaper things that you make in this game, and everybody kind of dabbles in the moonshine at once or twice.
Yeah.
One, if you didn't know, it has no aging required, which we know in this game, if you play this game, you'll find out, which is really cool.
I was going to say, I learned that through this game.
Exactly. Another thing is that, one, the original bootleggers were British settlers. So, I don't know. It's not the rednecks. It was the British. So, I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense. I can get behind that.
During the Prohibition of the U.S., moonshine had a nickname. Did you know what that nickname is?
I should know, but my mind has gone blank on me.
It is Mountain Dew.
Dang it. I was like, it's something that people drink all the time, but I can't remember what it was.
So, and that eventually became your favorite soda bottle in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1932, which is the lemon lime flavored soda, which I love me some Mountain Dew occasionally.
Everybody knows what Mountain Dew is.
Yeah. But if you didn't know, it was made in Knoxville and in 1932, so, which is kind of cool.
Okay, question. So we all know at this point that Coke had cocaine in it at one point in its life.
Right.
Did Mountain Dew ever have moonshine in it?
No. Well, I don't know about that, but it says that the soft drink was originally intended to be used as a chaser for whiskey.
Wow. Wow. That I did not know.
So the world comes full circle.
I guess.
As far as drinks, which would be my next question, what is your favorite drink? Do you have one that's you like, oh, like I'll usually just drink that. That one's good.
Yes, absolutely. I love me some rum. Ready for rum anytime, anywhere.
Any particular kind?
You know, I will say that I've had fancy rums and I've had cheap rums and somewhere in between as well. I think each of them have a place. Like I've had some of the fancier rums that I'll drink straight. I don't know that I like just am like, I have to have this one. To me, one of the fun things about rum is that because of the mixture of flavors that come with it, there's so much variety and it allows for that flexibility both on its own and mixing it with other things. Plus, I really like sweet things. So that's just a natural combination for me. So anybody that ever wants to get me anything and they don't know what to get me, rum is the answer.
So you like, do you prefer like a dark rum or just any?
Yeah, I do. I do prefer a dark rum. There's a place for white rums. For me, white rums are definitely better as a mixer.
Yeah, I agree. I like that coconut rum in my, Malibu sunsets.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I make a mean one, so.
I will shout out one really quick. I don't know that it's like the best rum I've ever had, but there's a brand of rum called Bumbu that I use a lot. It's a great combo of either being straight or a mixer. It's got like a cinnamon kind of flavor mixed in. And so when you mix it in with a Coke or a Dr. Pepper, it really adds to that flavor. Or if you just drink it straight, it's really great too.
That's cool. Yeah, I will do spiced rum, but my go-to is bourbon.
Nice.
Or whiskey. I'll try any whiskeys, even scotch. Like, I'll try them all. That's kind of my go-to. That's what I prefer, so.
Do you have a preferred brand?
My personal favorite bourbon of all time is the Belmead Distillery. It's their, like, bourbon. They have another whiskey, but it's their just straight bourbon.
Gotcha.
I really like that one. It's very well done. It's really reasonably priced, and it's local for me. So I know not everybody's going to be able to find that if you're like, oh, I'm going to look it up. I mean, I don't know. Good luck. But here in the Nashville area, it's a local kind of distillery or brewery, whatever. They also have, they have a winery too. It's kind of crazy, honestly, but it's a good one. I really like it for the price as well. I don't spend a lot of money on the whiskeys because they can't get pricey, but sure. For the price, I really, really like that one. That was one of my favorites.
And I assume you prefer to drink it straight?
Yeah, I do like an ice cube.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I know some people like it neat, and so that's a thing. I like it slightly chilled, and I don't have my bottles chilled, so I do like one ice cube. I don't like to water it down, but I also will make like a normal old fashioned as well. I like both almost as equal, depending on how I'm feeling. I'll throw some orange bitters in there and like, you know, kind of spice it up, but everything that I buy, I normally try it straight first and see if I can tolerate it. If not,
wow.
Some are not as good as others. It has a little bit of some are stronger. And so I kind of like to add a little kind of dilution to those. So, but either way, they're all good in my opinion. And you get to make them all in this game.
Okay, man. Well, that sounds great. Well, I'll talk about how to play and then we'll give some of our thoughts.
Yeah.
In Distilled, the goal is to have the most points at the end of the game and be crowned the master distiller. In the middle of the table is a board that houses scoring, a basic market, a premium market, the discard piles known as the truck, and additionally, there will be public goals that can be completed by any player, as well as private goals dealt out to each player. Additionally, each player has a player board that houses their character, a tasting flight card that houses your recipes for the game, 3 slots for distillery upgrades, a pantry to store ingredients, a storeroom to house bottles and barrels, and a warehouse that can house 2 aged spirits at a time. Additionally, this board keeps up with the recipes that you know how to make, and the all-important washback, where you will be distilling a new spirit each round. Hopefully. Each player starts with a glass bottle and a metal barrel, as well as a character who has a special ability, a signature recipe, and a special ingredient which can be obtained during the game. As Ian mentioned earlier, there are 7 rounds. There are certain abilities that do take place at the beginning of the round, but more often than not, you're going to be focusing on the 4 main phases of the game. The first phase is the market phase. That's where you can upgrade your distillery, buy premium ingredients, buy premium items such as various bottles and barrels that give different bonuses, buy new recipes, or you can go to the basic market to get some more basic necessary ingredients to round out what you're trying to make that round. At the end of the market phase, you do churn all of those different decks so that you're seeing new cards each round, and then you move into the distill phase. When distilling, you need at least 1 sugar, 1 yeast, and 1 water, and you place these into your washback, which sits on the left side of your board. You may add additional sugars if you'd like, but you're not required to. Any unused ingredients stay in the pantry for now. For each sugar added, you add 1 alcohol card to match. Then, take all the cards from your washback, shuffle them up, and discard the top and bottom card back into your pantry. The remaining cards are your distillation. With what you have left, you determine what you've made based on the recipes that you know. You always know how to make moonshine and vodka, and remember, from the market phase, that you can learn other recipes. But be careful, some recipes require only certain types of sugar. You may distill 1 spirit per round. Not anymore. Just 1. But you do want to distill 1 spirit each round. So you take the cards and put them beneath a container, which you bought in the market. That's either going to be a metal barrel, which does not require that the drink be aged at all, or you're going to put it into a wood or clay barrel, which does need to be aged. Each recipe will indicate which type of container that you need. Finally, take a spirit label from the main board and add it to your container, labeling the type of alcohol that you've made. If there are no labels remaining, no worries, you can still make it, but you won't get one of the sweet bonuses when you sell. If you distilled a spirit that is in a metal barrel, you're gonna sell it this phase, because again, you can't age it. You start by choosing one of your bottles to sell your alcohol in. You'll always have a basic bottle, or you can use a fancier bottle that you bought at the market. You'll gain the value of money from the beverage when you sell it. That value can be increased based on the number of alcohol cards, premium ingredients, the bottle and barrel, and potentially character effects or distillery upgrades. Then, you'll gain victory points on the same card as well as the victory point values that you're going to find from the recipe itself. After gaining money and points, all basic cards are placed back in their respective piles. Premium ingredients and barrels are placed in the truck, and special bottles are shelved off to the side of your board. Once you've sold, you take your spirit label and place it on one of the 7 bonuses on the top of your player board. If you didn't have a label, you skip this step. You can sell multiple times during this round if you have something that was already aging in your warehouse, but you have to wait for it to come back around to your turn. But if you still have anything left in your warehouse after selling, we move into the age phase. If you have to age a spirit, you would place the cards still with the barrel and spirit label into your warehouse. You can age up to 2 spirits at one time. During this phase, you add 1 flavor card to each spirit that you have aging. This adds a little bit of flavor text and provides additional money when it comes time to sell. And you get additional points for a more aged product. At the end of the round, you check to see if anyone has earned one of the public goals, and that player or players earns those points. You do a little bit of cleanup and then move into the next round. Once you've completed 7 rounds, you move into scoring. The way that you score, you check the points that you've already scored on the point track throughout the 7 rounds. There are 2 different bottle bonuses that can be claimed from putting your fancy bottles off to the side on the shelf. There's distillery upgrades that give you points. There are your private goals, and then any money left over is also going to give you points as well. Whoever has the most points wins the game. Let's head back over to the table and we'll discuss.
Well, that can be a lot.
It is a lot.
It is a lot.
When you first get into it, it's a big smack to the face.
Yeah.
But
it's
once you know, it's not that bad.
Once you know how to make the moonshine, it's a walk in the park.
It really is.
Well, I would like to do something slightly different here. I know we're usually talk about the game, but I would like to talk about the designer and the publisher very quickly. Because I think that's something that, one, this game, is this their first game or did they do another game before this one?
This is their first game.
Okay. And so Paverson Games, which I think for their first game, this game is absolutely gorgeous.
Bro, let me go ahead and stop you and just add to the pile here. This designer, it's his first game. Like, it's completely fresh.
Yeah. Is this his company or?
Yes, he is the owner and operator. His name is Dave Beck, and the publisher is Paverson Games.
I mean, you look at their website and just everything is very professional. And I don't know where this guy came from prior, but I think it's very cool. You look at the way the game presents itself and it does such a good job. And that's what you want to see something like that, especially from new companies. Like, that's really cool to see that and be a part of that. But actually, as we're looking, though, OK, so Dave Beck, that this kind of makes sense. He's a game designer, obviously, 3D digital and new media designer. So he has been doing design work for a while. And that makes sense. A science engineer as well. Like, so
what you're saying is he's really smart.
He's really smart. But he's good. He seems like a very good professional, and that it shows itself well inside of the game. It shows itself inside the company. And I hope that more game companies and games find a way in this field that look like this and be like this, because I think it's good for the hobby.
I would agree. I also like, so this was a game on Kickstarter. I like when Kickstarters give you the option to upgrade yourself with different like metal coins and metal cubes and a metal first player token and a neoprene mat if you want it and blah, 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 blah. But it's not required.
Right.
And you're not jacking up the price to where you're outpricing those who could enjoy this game. But I really do appreciate having that opportunity to where I could upgrade later if I wanted to. I just, like you're saying, everything about what Paverson Games is doing is very professional and very white glove service, and I love it. So yeah, props to Dave Beck and Paverson Games.
With that, going into this game specifically, just the display, the organization, the way the game presents itself, I love. And the theme is so just, it's very well thought out. And the mechanics and the theme together flow in and out. Like you just constant, you make sense. You learn stuff about different spirits that you didn't know before. And it's really cool to kind of see that process happen in front of you, that meshing of ingredients, of the fact of real ingredients inside the game, but the ingredients of mechanic and theme, and they go really well together in this game.
I really feel like I am distilling spirits while I play, and yeah. I'm thinking about each ingredient that I add for each drink that I'm making. And there's times where I'm like, ugh, I don't want that in my drink. I want the premium stuff. And I get really whatever about it. And it gets me in trouble sometimes, but I definitely get attached to my drinks and I want to make something exquisite. So I really, the mechanics blending into the theme is the cool part for me. It's not just that there's good artwork and there's fun functionality on the board, but all the game mechanics feel like I'm making it. And that's what needs to happen in a good themed game, is that the game mechanics complement the theme. And so that would be one thing that I absolutely love about this.
I would say that, I guess there's a lot to talk about in this game, as you've mentioned, but I would like to start, like, even so the beginning of each round, you know, you're going to be buying some new ingredients. And as far as the ingredients go, there's a lot. Like, there's a lot of different kinds. There's a lot of different upgrades. And then the bottles and barrels as well. I guess for me, what I really liked about that aspect is it wasn't just a bunch of, like, generic ingredients. There are generic ingredients at the bottom. But you're talking, like, you buy those. You could buy, you know, what is it, two per round of something of that
generic
stuff.
Yeah, you
can go
to the basic market twice.
Yeah. But the nicer market, the fancy ingredients, it's not just like, there are cards that do show up that are exactly the same, but felt like most of the time there's like about three or four of this type of sugar, and there's four different types of that. And so you're not seeing the same named card frequently, and the points are different between those two. And so that, I always like a little bit of diversity in that. I don't want to see the same things over and over again. Well, I just got the same card that you got. There's uniqueness in the ingredients themselves. And then there's all, you know, that's on top of the uniqueness in the upgrades and then the bottles and barrels. The bottles and barrels, like, none of them are same. There's a couple of them that kind of show themselves twice. But I really like the fact that there's just a lot of different things, like, happening inside that. And you're seeing new constantly. It's not seeing the same things over and over again.
Sure. And I would say one of the things that I really like that's almost a contrast to that is you only have so much money and time to be able to make and play with all these different ingredients and bottles and whatnot, because you only have 7 rounds. So you're only making 7 different beverages.
Right.
You only have so much money, especially in the first half of the game. And so it's very important deciding how you're going to invest that money. I mean, there might be a really cool distillery upgrade out, but you also need ingredients to make a drink this time. So how do you balance that? And
exactly.
The game really, really has created tension in a way where I both feel like every decision matters, but at the end of the game, it's ramped just enough to where I feel like I've completed most of what I want to do. And I don't feel like it took too long to ramp to where I couldn't do the things that I wanted to at the end of the game.
And that's the big thing about this whole process of this game. So the beginning of the round, you're collecting some stuff, that's the fun stuff. Collecting fun stuff.
And then it gets stressful.
Yeah. Then it gets stressful and you're going through that process of all that. But then you go on and make stuff. And that process, like you're saying, changes throughout the game. Cause like you're broke. You're broke at the 100%. Beginning.
Yes.
But it kind of fits with the theme of like, you're kind of this, like you're just this distillery that's kind of making its way, kind of creating some fame and clout for itself. Mm-hmm. And you got to start small and starts making some few things. And then you find some followers and you get experience, you get better at it. It's a nice process there in the beginning where you kind of start out with some like more simple, like, yeah, moonshine or vodka.
That's
like
right.
Pretty generic, like, stuff, easier stuff to make. And then you move on and you start making some really nice rum and like whiskey or like, I don't know. There's a bunch of different, there's a lot of spirits in this game I've never heard of,
well,
which is really cool.
And there's different tasting flights. So you've got all this variety. You're not stuck with just the same 8 drinks that you can gain those recipes. There's whole lists. So there's lots of options in this game.
Yeah. Wasn't there like 8 different sets of like combinations of different ones?
Lots of characters and all kinds. Like there's no shortage of variety in this game.
No, the replayability value on this game is a lot. It's significant. The amount of replayability just laid into this box is probably the most that I've seen in a game in a while. Like the amount of different things that you will never see based on the characters and then the flights, that alone is like 100 games. So there's a lot of replay value just in that. Maybe not as much in the other cards, but definitely in those. So,
yeah, I would agree with the tasting flights and the characters. And this has already been solved because there's already 2 expansions out. And I know we're kind of jumping ahead on that. But, we have 3 regions that are focused on in the base game. And then Africa and Middle East is the first expansion, which just adds more stuff. And so if you want even more variety, adding more stuff to that premium market, that's a way to do that. And that keeps the game fresh. And then there's another expansion that they brought out this year that adds more stuff again and a new market mechanic. So again, the variety is very high. I think that you could really enjoy getting to play this game with a fresh feel to it for a very long time. So I'm going to let you jump back in just a second. But like,
yeah,
the story behind this is you the players have inherited this abandoned distillery from a distant relative. And now you're like trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I very much feel that way because I don't know the first thing about distilleries.
No, absolutely no idea.
But the game like definitely lets you feel that way and you learn as you go.
That's the one thing that's like hidden in this process is, again, early on in the game, you're not good at it. You have not really built up an engine.
Right.
And that's representative of this like figuring it out process.
Yep.
But it feels like every turn that you're distilling something, it is so stressful because you just have enough ingredients. They have designed this game that you're never like, maybe towards the late game, you're really feeling it. But that early to middle game, you're really short on those ingredients to make in general, you're like, okay, I have bought ingredients to make this specific drink. And if I don't pull the right cards, I have to make something else, which is not what I want to do. So there's this tension that you're shuffling that deck up, drawing one off the top, one off the bottom. If I happen to pull the 2 cards that I absolutely cannot pull, then I'm stuck making moonshine instead of making whiskey.
Nobody wants that because it gives you no points.
Yeah, because it only gives you a little bit of money. And that's really good in the early game, not great in the late game when you're trying to get points and money. So I felt like, though, even up until like the latter turns, there's that tension, constant tension of those cards that I'm shuffling up. I'm like, I cannot pull two. I cannot pull two. If I pull two, I'm wrecked.
I remember watching one player, like, they would just sit there and keep shuffling. Like, they were just so terrified of if they stop shuffling, they've got to draw the cards. And they're just terrified of what it's going to be.
That's what it is. That's what it is. But there's this innate tension that is built into that mechanic of having to kind of remove two cards from that at random. There are ways to mitigate it. There's some upgrades you can get that allow you to retry or only take one card. Personally, I love those upgrades. I think they are awesome because I hate having to, you know, just put my faith in this random chance that I might pull it. But I do find that tension really fun, even though it sometimes burns you. I think in general, that tension is it's a really cool way to kind of show the process of making a spirit and aging something. It's like, sure, they have the perfected science in a way, but like anything, when you buy the same bottle of whiskey twice, in my opinion, it doesn't always taste the same. They can be different. And so I think that's really cool is that there's a little bit of variability in that, because sometimes you like get a bottle and it's just good. And then sure, all the other bottles are really good too, but that bottle was really good. So I think there's a little, like, again, this theme is constantly being expressed through these mechanics, and I think it's really, really cool. Even going like beyond that is to like the whole selling process as well, and aging the different things and adding those little, the longer it ages, the more points you get, which the longer it ages, the better it tastes. Like, there's this whole process. It's like really cool theme, off the charts on this one for sure.
Like I said earlier, the theme is integrated because of the mechanics. The mechanics enhance and enable the theme. If the mechanics were not as good as they were, then I don't know that I would say that about the theme.
And that's the thing about game design, which is very challenging, is, and we've talked about this, is there are different ways to design games. You pick a theme, you know, or you come up with this kind of mechanic and then you kind of build this theme around it and pick one. This was kind of like a little bit of both in the way they approached that. They wanted the game to be accurate. And I've heard Paverson Games talk about this. They wanted to be accurate and representational of the process and how, but one, all of their games will be. They have another game coming out later this year that is very similar in the way it's theme and all that. But they want to be representational and true to the character of what the game is about. And I think that's really good. And it really shows in this game specifically.
Yeah. And that game that you're referring to is Luthier, where you're making classical instruments for the greats. That game you can late pledge right now. They just finished their Kickstarter or whatever group he was on. Yeah. That one also, it has that, what feels like it might be a little bit heavier. But
I think it is
that feel, that theme and mechanics and art design and all the things we were talking about earlier from Paverson, you can tell are in this. I remember we were at Gen Con and there was this massive organ that was a dice tower. And I was like, Ian, how do I get just that? That's what I want.
I wish.
Well, anyways. All right. Well,
back to Distilled. I guess one, let's talk about, because this game can, you know, we could go on forever about each different mechanic. Is there anything that's like sticks out to you as like some of your favorite mechanics in the way it kind of just creates this process of distilling something?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I really like the uniqueness of the distill phase, where you decide which ingredients you're going to go for that time and you decide how much to commit. And you can't just throw everything in your pantry at it, because you're just going to end up making vodka, because you're going to have this mix of all these different sugars, and no other recipe is going to be okay with that. But you want to add extra sugars to be able to give yourself that peace of mind. And so I do really like that distill phase, where you're putting together your combination of choice and then you're losing two cards off of it. And that, to me, it just I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to say like it makes the game, but it kind of does for me in a way. Yeah. Like, a lot of games have market phases. You sell stuff. Like, none of that is super revolutionary or anything, but that distill part is, for me, it just really ties everything together in a way that really feels like a top shelf game.
Yes, I think that's one of the heaviest, like, it has the most weight as a mechanic in this game.
Sure.
Like, it carries a lot of weight in the game. Is it's everything, here's the thing about it, everything revolves around that mechanic. So everything that happens before it and after is that
it's based off
phase
of that. Exactly.
Yeah, because you're buying ingredients and getting upgrades to make you better at those things, but you're buying bottles and buying, you know, this, and this to make that part better. And then after the fact is the result of the distilled phase, which is all the selling. But I do find, one, yes, that whole process is definitely one of my favorites. I do really like that kind of deciding, kind of prior to that, you have to kind of decide what I'm going for, which I really like. But you have to pick what spirit you really want to go for. Because, you, like you said, you can't just throw like the three different types of sugars in the game all in there. Can't do that. You have to pick something that you want to go for. There's just so much built around the distilled phase, and that you do everything that you want and then you don't do it everything that you want
right
in the distilled phase. But it just, there's a really nice balance that is created. Is there's tension in the beginning and then after, and it's all built around the distilled phase. And I think that's really cool. I do think that there's this kind of process after the fact when you're selling, which is really fun, is, you know, how long do you wait for aged spirits? Because the other stuff you have to sell immediately, but those aged spirits, you know, how long do you wait? You wait the whole game? Like, there was a time where you just sit on it the whole game. I think that's a really cool aspect. I think there's something that you're always constantly thinking about, of how long do I sit on this aged spirit? Because I need money now.
Exactly.
And if I don't sell it now, I'm not getting money. But if I wait to the end of the game, it's going to give me the most points. So,
and you're always tempted to sell because money's super tight.
Yep. Always. Especially in this game.
All right. Well, I think we've gushed about a lot of different things. It's interesting because I feel like, even with what we've said, I still haven't hit all the things that we could talk about with the goodness of this game. So do you have anything else? I will say one little fun, like, I usually appreciate fun little facts on cards, but like never, like, just, it just sucks me in. Yeah. I don't know why this one did, but so each alcohol card that ends up in your drink is considered 20 proof. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And so I like got to this point where I was like, I want to make like a 200 proof bottle. Like, that's all I want. I don't even care if it's like a good drink or not.
Yeah.
And I would get real. So I really appreciated little tidbits like that.
So yeah, the alcohol gets added when
because of the sugars. Yeah.
Just the sugars. Okay. So for every sugar you have. So then, the alcohol gets added and oh my gosh, there was that. Yeah, that was the one game where you had like 25,
so much.
Like 25 alcohol in there, which is, what is that?
It wasn't 200? That much, but it was a lot.
I mean, you got up to 200. I know you got up to 200 proof. So.
Yes. Yeah. It was fun. It was like 10 alcohol cards, but yeah.
So yeah, that's a really cool little, like, yeah, subtle. Like, they didn't need to add that. Like, that's what,
no,
it's like, it didn't matter. It could be just an alcohol card, but like, yeah, they add the proof there at the bottom. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. I agree. Do you have anything else good wise before we move on?
I mean, I have something that I do want to talk about in the lacking department, but yes. Yeah. But no, I mean, this game provides so much theme, and I love the theme itself. Like, I love those mixed drinks and spirits and all those, and the whole process of all those. And I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool. I think it delivers it so well. And that's the one thing that you take away from this game, is you're like, I felt like I made spirits and I distilled something and aged something and sold something. Like, that's this game does that. This game does that so well. So
before we go on, and this is, I just feel like I should say it here because it's part of the positives. If you like medium weight board games and you like just even the concept of what distilling spirits is like or making spirits or whatever, you will like this game.
Yeah.
Just because of the experience and the experience of, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. And whatever. Like, I think you'll have a great time with it. And don't be intimidated by all the stuff, because once you understand all the stuff, it really clicks really quick.
I would think, yeah, talking about the weight in this game, I think is important is, you know, I think as far as on BGG, it has a 2.96, which is like medium heavy. I think that's about right. But I do think there's an important aspect here where, like you're saying, I think if you really like the theme, I think you, no matter, unless you haven't played a board game ever, which I don't know, if you're listening to this podcast, I don't know if you've.
That's wild. Please reach out to me. I need to hear your story.
If you have never played a board game and you're listening to this podcast, tell us how that even happened. Maybe you thought it was something else. And in that case, welcome here.
That's right.
But if you've played some games, even light games, I think if you really are really interested in this theme, I think you could find a way to enjoy this game and play it. You might take a little process trying to figure. I think this game can be hard to be good at, but this game is not hard to have fun at or hunt fun with, I guess is the more
right
grammatically correct. But this game is a fun game. It's a fun game, especially if you somewhat like the theme.
So as much fun as it is, we have some things we need to talk about that are not so fun. So Ian, why don't you kick us off?
Right. So I think the expansions fix this, but I have not played with all of them. I find that the bottles and the barrels are hard to come by when you need the most. And there are ways to prevent that, but there is an element at the end of the game is like basically on the spirit labels you have, on which regions they are. And all that, you get some collected extra points. Basically, if you've split amongst the regions or you collect all of one region. The issue that I find is that if your character is a specific region and you kind of got sent off into this making spirits of another region because nobody else was doing that one, which is how I normally play. I'm like, okay, well, there's no competition here. I'm going to go get this one. And those don't correlate well with getting those kind of bonuses. It's a little bit harder to, it's not impossible, but it's a little bit harder to try and manipulate that to gain points. And when that happened in my first game, and I do think that part of it was a little bit more of a lack of experience, but as I played more, I got a little bit better at it. I just think I still see that is that there's not enough bottles and not enough bottles that give you those labels and those regions as much as I would like to see, especially in a higher player count. So I don't particularly like that. You know, some of the upgrades are like, in my opinion, some of them are just kind of like whatever. And then some of the upgrades are also like, okay, that one's just great no matter what. That one's just good. I guess that can be in any game, but I do find it kind of annoying when you're sitting there and I'm like, I don't want any of these upgrades and there's nothing I can do about it. I need an upgrade. It gives you points at the end of the game to have upgrades, but they also help you progress and get better. So I'll just spend my money on something else. That's fine. But the market is something that I have a slight issue with as far as the consistency of it. And the diversity of it is it's not always consistent with what you need. And you really have to just kind of wing it sometimes. I mean, if you don't get the right flips when you need them, you're kind of stuck without getting a bottle. Or like hypothetically, if you just never flipped the right card on your turn, or if somebody bought it before you and you didn't even have a shot at it, there's not much you can do. You can at some point pick through a discard pile. but sometimes not. So it just kind of depends. That's just one thing that I see as a kind of an annoyance more than like an absolute awful mechanic. It's just part of card draw. So anyway, that's the one thing that I don't particularly like. And then on top of that, I do think some characters are better than others. And that's a fact of most games, but I wish there were maybe a little bit more balancing in that. Some characters are like, they were just gifted way more money and their thing earns way more money and it seemed a lot easier to make. And so there's just a couple little balancing things there, which I did not find the most enjoyable. But in the end, these are pretty light things that I don't like. I'm making more of a deal of them than they actually are. I'm just trying to find something to nitpick, I guess.
That's very interesting that you say that. I don't think I agree with either of those things, but I don't know. I think I would shift. Well, we'll start with the character one because I think I'm closer on that than I disagree. But I would say not so much that they're not balanced, but that some are a lot easier to figure out than other ones are. There are some that are super straightforward, and that really highlights itself in a game where nobody really knows how to play. You're still experiencing all of the game without learning the nuance of each character. And there are some characters that are harder to play and figure out, but once you do, I think they really pay off.
I think that part. I mean, I like the fact that there's different characters and some are easier and harder to play. I just found that like that ability seemed just overall better. And there's like, or that person's drink, specialty drink, earned 30 more points than me, and it was basically the same difficulty, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of things that go into balancing that character, whether it's starting resources, ability, the drink itself. Like, there's a lot of different things going on, so I don't know that I'd go so far as to say they're not balanced, but I would say that some are easier to play than others. As far as, you know, unluckiness of the card draw or whatever, I mean, there's cards in play. I don't think it really bothers me. I think that the fact that there is so much flexibility to pivot to a different drink if I had to and pursue that and optimize it that way instead of just praying for the right card, I think there's a lot of flexibility to do that. And I think there is several different opportunities to be able to either look at the top card of the deck and buy that instead, or, you know, go to the discard pile and find something in there. So I think even though there's card draw and you have to deal with the unluckiness of that, I think that that's the game has done a good job of trying to mitigate that luck.
Yeah.
Now, you can't remove it. I agree. There's times where I just sit there and I'm like, I don't want palm sugar. I want grain.
Yeah.
Where is all the grain?
Yeah.
And in the basic market does help that too, because you can go down there and get what you need. So
yeah,
I would push back a little bit on both of those, but I hear your points.
I think the more issue, like, I'm fine with the randomness, especially ingredients. I think that's fine. And yeah, you can mitigate it easily by there's a couple different ways. I think that's awesome. I think there's a good balance there. I think maybe one, I could see that being a problem for some people, but I do think, I don't know, because you bottle everything. I just don't know if there was enough unique bottles to me. I kind of wish there were more, like maybe more that, maybe the expansions add more of these. I would need to play them, especially in the base. I felt like there was just never enough bottles that like did something, one that I wanted it to do, or that like it didn't really do. It didn't. I wanted it to do something cool. There's a couple bottles that pertain to moonshine, and I'm like, I'm not making moonshine anymore. I'm moving on. And I'm like, well, I don't want that bottle. Like, there's just plenty of other drinks. Let's get a different bottle.
You're saying in the market still, not one that you bought, correct?
In the market.
That's where you're getting. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Because I think there's a couple different bottles that are specific to moonshine. That's cool. But like, you're not going to always make moonshine, especially later game. And so I'm like, that bottle is useless. And then
Maybe you do, and you pump in 10 alcohol cards and make a 200 proof moonshine, and you get a whole bunch of money. I don't know. Like, it's not like I'm not making 6-round aged whiskey. You're right. But that's the cards you've been dealt. I don't know.
I don't think the moonshine route is a way to win, personally, but that could be wrong on that one.
New goals. New goals.
Make moonshine the entire time and hope to win. Maybe that's probably it. It's just like I just kind of wanted more bottles, because there is this part at the end of the game that everybody's trying to get of like having the region of bottles, which
the point bonus is a big deal. I agree.
Again, this is just kind of minor. It's not a big deal. It's just
randomness. I mean, I didn't particularly like.
You know, you're only talking about a 7-round game, and so it's not like you have unlimited time to do all these things. You have to be kind of intentional about when you're doing those, and sometimes the times just don't line up, and so that's fine. That's just how the game plays sometimes.
I get it. The other thing that I would say, it's just something that comes with the territory of a heavier weight game, right? It can take a long time to play. I mean, we did a 4-player game and there were 2 new players at the table at the time, and that was a 3-hour experience. Mm. And so it's a heavier game. I think once you have players that know how to play, it can click a little bit better.
We played a 3-player game. What was that? That was,
I feel like,
2 hours or something.
Yeah, I think
like
it was closer to the 2-hour range.
Yeah. We all know how to play, so.
Yeah, that's true. I'd like this game to get down to the 1.5-hour range at 3 players. I think if at 30 minutes a player, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
But especially the learning curve is there just to kind of wrap your brain around what you want to do. Once you kind of understand the basic mechanics, there's a second level of learning your strategy. And I love that, don't get me wrong, but it's something to be aware of that this game is going to take time.
Yeah. I do think that's as we kind of step away from game stuff, like you're talking about player count, 1 to 5.
Yep.
So you can't play this game solo.
I'm not interested. I've looked into it. I would rather play this with other people.
No, I think there's a part of this that is fun to watch what other people are doing, and I think kind of cycles the deck out and like all those things.
Well, there's the tension of racing against the other players. Like you are doing your own thing, but it's very much an involved market.
Yeah. And there's only so many spirit labels. So you can't everybody go for the same thing all the same time. There's not enough for that. So there's that innate kind of tension like we were talking about. With that tension, the more players obviously adds more tension because you're all trying to do something and grab that ingredient. I would personally, now that we're talking about player count, I mean, what is your preferred? I don't know if I'd go to 5 on this, but
I'm not interested.
Yeah. I think 3 is really fun. I think 3 is really good. I think 2 to 3 is really good. And I think with 4 would be totally fine as well. I think 3 is a good number for this game. I do think you were saying 30 minutes per play. I don't know if each player is adding that much more time. I think it can. There's a lot of aspects in this game. Like when you're making your spirit, you're doing that all simultaneously. And then as far as buying and selling, it's like, okay, I buy something and that's your turn to buy. So it's not like we're like, there shouldn't be a ton of like thinking about it that long.
But there is, because of the amount of choice that you have.
Well, there is. I'm not going to say there's not. It's not like you have to take your whole turn and then it's my turn. No, like you buy a card and then somebody else buys a card. Like, sure, there's thinking, but you get a card. We keep going around twice or as many times as we want until we're all passed. And then you go on to the next phase. And then that part's all simultaneous. And then you sell one at a time. So, yes, I do think it can be. It's obviously going to be slower with more players, but you're doing some simultaneous stuff, which always keeps the pace moving. So to keep that in mind, I think that's something to mention. And then the interaction like between the players is also really high because of that conflict and tension and trying to get those spirit labels and bottles. And like the interaction here is strong, in my opinion, of however many players, even if you have 2. The interaction strong, so I think that's important.
And the game does compensate to keep the market moving at 2 by wiping more cards out of the market, so you're not losing any of that,
right? Which is good. That's a good rule that they added for sure.
No, I really like this at 2 and 3. I can enjoy it at 4. I wasn't upset about playing the game that we did,
right?
So, yeah. I think it's time for grading and final thoughts, my man.
Yeah. I think I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I think we both have probably similar numbers here, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to call a spade and say this game is just a straight up 8.
Hey-o.
It's a great game. The 8 is the number. Like, it just fits. It's above average. It's not perfect. It's not for everyone, but this game plays really well. And the mechanics are good, and the art is good, and the way the theme and the art and the mechanics all flow together are fantastic. Most of all in any game is I have fun while playing it. And it can be longer, can be a longer game, but I like long games right now in my life. That's why I'm playing a lot of them, and I'm totally fine with it. So I really enjoyed this one. This one was, I don't know, it was quite a surprise. I heard a lot about it, and I finally got to try it, and I was like, man, that was a lot of fun. Like, I had fun playing that game, and I think what I would say for this is that, again, if you like the theme, don't be afraid of trying this. I could easily pick this game out with somebody that doesn't play a lot of games, and I know they like whiskey, and be like, let's try this one. I know you're going to like it. And they would. I know they would. 100%. I have no doubt in my mind that they would enjoy. Yeah, they would like this game.
And because it's broken down into 4 phases, like, it's teachable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like when I was teaching to the new players in the 4-player game, that I never felt uncomfortable walking through the steps of what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And I think I got through it relatively quickly for all that's going on. All right. I am going to give this game an 8.5.
See, I knew you'd be higher than me. I knew it.
I really went back and forth. I'm somewhere between the 8 and the 8.5, but I landed on the 8.5 because I really enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. And I was kind of late to the show to hear about this game, but luckily was able to pick up a copy, and I really enjoyed it. I was a little intimidated by it at first, but I was really happy that Anna encouraged me to be like, oh, no, let's just do a date night of it and just see how it goes. And our first time playing, we actually pulled out different spirits that we had at home. And when we made a drink, we'd try a little one from our actual spirits and kind of made a whole date night theme out of it. And it was a really fun time.
Yeah, that's
cool. So it's got a lot going for it. And I really am impressed. Congrats to Dave Beck for just really hitting it out of the park on the first swing. And excited for what Luthier is going to bring as well because of how much I've enjoyed Distilled. Love the theme. Love the mechanics and the way that they blend together. I've never just played this game and thought, man, I'm ready to be done. Like, even though it takes a long time, I enjoy every minute of it. The time just flies by. So I have to be a little more sensitive with my time because I have kids, that young kids at that. And so that means I've only got so much time for gaming. But even then, I don't mind bringing this one out because of how enjoyable it is. So there it is. Ian, anything else before I wrap us up here?
I think that was well said.
Perfect. All right. Well, with all of that said, thank you everyone for taking a listen here and for making it this far. If you didn't make it this far, thank you anyways. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Or shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Also, I'm going to add one more. If you listen to this podcast and you stick around for the wrap-up every time, please email me, message me on BoardGameGeek or get on Discord or something. Tell me that you're listening because I've had multiple people in the last 2 weeks be like, how many listeners do you guys have? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to track like 18 different ways and I can't get a consistent answer. So if you listen, I would love to hear from you. Seriously, I respond to every message that I get because I'm obsessive like that. But anyways, special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder, who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexei Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the kids' table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. I have one more story to tell you. This was kind of fun. So you've met my buddy Derek, right? So he has met this guy in his neighborhood and they're just kind of getting to know each other, whatever. But the other day they ran into each other on a walk and this guy was like, "So do you like board games?" And Derek was like, Yeah, I do. And Derek was like, "Do you don't happen to listen to like the Game Table podcast, do you?" And the other guy was like, "Yeah, actually I do."
Oh my gosh.
So that's where we're at right now.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Pretty awesome.
We went over there for a surprise birthday party for his wife, and I wore my Game Table shirt, of course.
Nice.
And it sparked a discussion. And one guy asked me, he's like, "So how many listeners do y'all have?" And I was like, "You know,
like
that's
five.
Really hard. That's a hard question to answer. Like,
yeah.
We could have like 50. Or we could have five, and everybody I know is lying to me. So I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. That makes me feel good, though. I like that.
It's so good, like, to get a story like that. I was like, "Derek, you've made my whole week."
That's very cool.